One of my favorite challenges about working in live radio, and it never changes. It's not as though you can get to a certain level in your career where this never happens, because it happens more often than not. All hell is breaking loose behind the scenes. Nothing's working the way it's supposed to, especially here. And we've got technical issues as well as time management problems. And you throw in the traffic in New York City that always seems to delay us getting into the building, which is where our headquarters are located. Man alive, one of my favorite challenges has always been this way. It manifests itself in various forms when you're earlier in your career. But live radio is like an amoeba. It's constantly moving and changing. It never is static. It's fluid. And so is everything behind the scenes. And yet somehow, if you work hard enough at it and you stay calm, it comes together even when it shouldn't. And so that's one of those nights. It's perfect for the Hump Show. I feel like we've had a few of those in August where not a whole lot has gone right behind the scenes, and yet somehow we managed to put a show together. So unlike some of the previous times when it's happened in August, I'll invite you to continue listening. I know there were times earlier in the month when I said you really should tune out now because I'm not sure how this is going to go moving forward. But thankfully, producer Jay is here, and we're working on it together. We're going to figure it out. I know for sure that we've got plenty of topics into which we can dive and on which we can chew. And so we're going to do that and even go back to our topic from last night if we have an opportunity, because I woke up, oh, so nice to sleep on Tuesday. I woke up to so many more answers to what was our burning question from last night's show about the memorable, unforgettable sports milestones or moments that we've witnessed, that you're so thrilled that you had a chance to see or hear in some cases with your own eyes and ears, eyeballs and earballs, as I call them. And so we had dozens and dozens more tweets as well as a couple hundred Facebook messages. So it's cool. It's cool that you guys were so into that question and that idea, that walk down memory lane in light of Albert Pujols and his assault on the baseball history books. He did not hit 694 on Tuesday, despite there being a doubleheader for the Cardinals and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. He did pinch hit in the second game. I think he got a hit in the first game. So he wasn't in the lineup until the late stages of the second game of the doubleheader. He did get on base and have a hit in the first game. So he continues to be productive for the Cardinals. And they split. They're in Chicago on Tuesday, which means they've won 9 of their last 10. And if you missed my conversation with Cardinals insider Katie Wu of The Athletic, she joined us from Chicago live on Monday night. And it was really neat to hear what she had to say about the atmosphere around the team and why it works. So we're glad to have you with us. We're glad to have more baseball storylines, even if it's not Albert Pujols. We have another installment of the Subway series and yet another enormous, raucous crowd in the Bronx. Better than 49,000 people, 49,200, even as my mother is texting me for some reason, "Mom, go to bed. You have school tomorrow." She's always worried about me driving in and having a place to park and being safe getting in the building. And so sometimes, even if she goes to bed, then she wakes up and she needs to know that I'm okay. I keep asking her, when are you going to stop worrying about me and when are you going to stop telling me what to do? But neither one of those things appear to be coming to an end anytime soon. Yay for Italian mamas. Back to the task at hand. An enormous crowd in the Bronx. Yankees and Mets, and Aaron Judge does what he does. And the Yankees provide some offense around him. But just as importantly, both the starting rotation and the bullpen have come through in what is now a 3-game win streak. It's a modest 3-game win streak. But ever since Aaron Boone got mad and smashed the table, they haven't lost. I'm just saying, ever since Aaron Boone got angry, the Yankees have won every game. Now, there were a couple of moments with Frankie Montas and even the defense behind him, some challenges for these Yankees where he could have allowed a few runs, or the team itself could have been in that position that we've seen where they just can't stop the bleeding. But it was the Mets, actually, who were in that position. A couple of misplays in the field that allowed an extra run to score and the Yankees to add some insurance. And the bullpen did its job despite loading the bases in the ninth inning and having to make a pitching change, actually, with the bases loaded and two outs in the ninth inning. So we'll get to Aaron Judge, the Subway Series, Mike Trout with a big welcome back, or I'm back. Not that it matters right now for the Angels. And two aces on the mound, not in the same game, that would be great, but two aces on the mound gunning for wins number 16 on Tuesday night. Both Justin Verlander, who takes a no-hitter into the sixth, and Tony Gonsolin. Astros, Dodgers, where have we seen them in the same place before? So we've got plenty of baseball. The Guardians and the Twins and the World Series champion Atlanta Braves, all part of tonight's equation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's The Hump Show, and we are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. A lot of chatter about the New York Yankees, despite the fact that Brian Cashman and some of the other members of the Yankees brass were getting booed on Sunday at the stadium. The crowd was pretty crazy these last couple of nights. So a lot of you finding me and responding to the post that I put up about an hour ago or so, because Sweeney Murdy, who is the Yankees insider for our New York affiliate and the Yankees flagship WFAN, he will join us in New York City coming up a little bit later on. We'll figure out what's changed and how the Yankees can avoid another slump. And so a lot of you responding to that post. But in addition, there's plenty to talk about from the world of football as well, which is why this is such a great month. Lots of anticipation, lots of buildup for what's to come. Derek Carr responds to this story. This, I don't think you can call it a report. It's a firsthand account from Dana White on the Gronk cast or something. That's so awkward. He was hanging out with the Gronks. There's lots of Gronks. He was hanging out with them as part of a broadcast of a UFC card on Saturday. And rather than the fights being the big story is the revelation from Dana that Tom Brady and Gronk nearly ended up with the Raiders in Vegas. And that not only did Dana White want it to happen, but he was instrumental in getting all the pieces in place to make it happen until, I'm not going to spoil it, but could you imagine Tom Brady a Raider? And what does that mean? What would it mean? What could it mean? What could it have meant for Derek Carr? Well, he was forced to answer the question yet again on Tuesday. Forced to answer questions about his status and the confidence the Raiders have in him or don't have in him. And so we'll hear from Derek himself, but also we haven't yet played that first person account from Dana White. So I feel like the Gronks, specifically Rob Gronkowski, but also his brothers, they don't really have V chips. So we may get some pretty in-depth stories as well as some stunning revelations if that Gronk cast continues. And speaking of revelations and bombshells and stunners, I can't with Kevin Durant. I can't even mention his name without rolling my eyes. Seriously, last week when I was guest hosting on Maggie and Perloff in the afternoon here on CBS Sports Radio, the producer I was working with, Mike Samter, who if you watch the show, you see him on TV all the time, he brought me a couple of rumors, a couple of tweets, I think they were, about Kevin Durant and his future and the fact that he was, well, not the fact, but the idea that he was considering retirement if the Nets didn't trade him. And I warned him, this show is on TV. You will see an involuntary eye roll once, twice, three times, because I cannot talk about Kevin Durant and the Nets these days without rolling my eyes and sneering.
Who cares?
I don't know if you care. I'm pretty sure you don't care about how you look or how this looks or how you
no complaints from me.
Made your team look. But are you kidding me now? Now he's going to stay in Brooklyn. Now everything's great. Now Steve Nash doesn't worry about that dagger that's coming for his back.
Come on, bro.
Just ridiculous. I don't generally root against teams, and I really don't root for teams. I root for storylines more than teams. But here's one storyline that I'm going to be rooting for. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons. That it just doesn't work.
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
Oh, yeah. I'm wishing all kinds of dark side venom on you. All of you. The Brooklyn Nets are the Cleveland Browns of the NBA. Producer Jay gets so mad when I say that, but he has no answer for it. Right? Have you come up with one yet? Because ever since I said that, it's been nothing but drama. It's been nothing but drama meme. Actually, that's the opposite. It hasn't manifested the way that I thought it would. But I will say this. I'm proud of the Nets for sticking to their guns, for having a backbone. All of a sudden, they grew one, or a pair of ones. So, Kevin Durant is staying in Brooklyn. It's just, the whole thing is stupid. It so is.
No complaints from me.
Oh, you're such a liar. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, dear. On our YouTube channel, yes, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I haven't checked YouTube. We haven't done anything new in the last couple of weeks, but we do have some big plans for the YouTube channel. We got lots of plans. And speaking of that, we also have a plan in place every hump show for you to send us the most interesting, creative, unique, fantastic questions. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but we remain hopeful. Here we are again, middle show of the work week. Got to get over this hump. I think Jay's already needing the weekend, and we're 5 minutes into our third show of the week. It's a mess. I'm just telling you behind the scenes. You ever see those, well, commercials or TV shows where, actually, maybe you've done it yourself, where a man or a woman goes up to a vending machine, puts their money in, punches in the number, and the item either hangs and doesn't drop, gets stuck on the hook and doesn't drop, or the thing just doesn't work at all. And so then what do you start doing? You start pressing the cancel button or the refund button or whatever it is. Maybe you shake the machine a little bit. Worst case scenario, you just kick it. Yep, that's what we need to do with our equipment around here. I'm not above kicking things. See, Jay does not want to smile right now. He is so angry and grouchy and cranky, which never happens with Jay. So it's so funny because you guys can't see him, but he's trying so hard not to smile. He's got like smoke coming out of his ears. But the problem is he thinks I'm really funny and I know how to make him laugh. So even though he doesn't want to, he's right now smiling a little and laughing. And I don't know if he's going to get madder because I'm making him laugh, but it's okay. It's going to be fine.
I'm just thinking about kicking the equipment around here, and then it just all, like a cartoon, just crumbles into a big pile, because that's probably what would happen.
I mean, that might function better than what it does when it's, like, fully upright. I'm telling you, we should treat it like a vending machine. Or how about when, oh my gosh, I just had this flash. The Millennium Falcon. Either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. The hyperdrive doesn't work.
Yeah.
They kick something. They hit something. They smack the console and it lights up again. That's it. We're just going to start hitting things and kicking some equipment. It's going to be okay. Poor Jay. I gave you a piece of chocolate. Did that not help?
It helped. That was nice. Thank you.
What else can I do? What else can I do to help?
Nothing. We'll get through it.
I've asked like 17 times and he won't let me do anything to help. But I'm making him laugh whether he likes it or not. Poor producer Jay. He needs you to call up or write in and tell him that he's the best producer ever. Well, he doesn't need that, but it would probably make him happy. Look, there you're smiling again.
That'd be nice.
You better watch out. Your face is going to crack. And then I'll talk about the Brooklyn Nets. And
yeah, there goes that good mood.
Then you'd have your red face again. Okay, we can do this. It's the Hump Show. It's supposed to be grueling. Isn't that something I say in one of our opens? It's supposed to be painful. We're inching our way up. Last couple of hours before we hit the midway point of the work week. It's going to be one of the best shows ever. Also, this is kind of funny. This is how I know if my friends actually understand what I do for a living. I got a text today. Someone wanted me to get together for lunch after church. The first Sunday of the NFL season. I didn't even write back. This is how I know how I evaluate my friends. Sheep versus goats, horses versus mules, geese versus ducks. Some of them know what I do for a living and understand what NFL Sundays are all about, and some of them do not. It's okay. I love them all equally. It gives me that tingle. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Again, on Twitter or Facebook, or maybe the show sucks and you just want to watch our YouTube videos because those are great. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and a grumpy producer, Jay. But it's fine. I'm going to fix it here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It is high, it is far, it is gone. Oh, what a judging blast. It went over the grandstand and way up in the bleachers. All rise. Here comes the judge. Boy, I mean, he hit one out of sight in left field, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. 2-1. Line is a base hit, left center field. Trevino rounds third. He scores on his way to third. And there is Benny. And for Judge, a base hit and an RBI. And the Yankees take a 4-2 lead. Here's the 0-2 to Lindor. The pitch swung on, a fly ball to center. Floreal is there. He makes the catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't know if it had anything to do with Aaron Boone showing a little emotion. Aaron Boone pounding the desk. You know, I've seen TikToks out there with Aaron Boone taking his frustration out
right in front of us.
the podium and the desk with the microphone getting all warbled. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We got a lot to get to from the baseball diamond as well as some football, some QB news, yay, and Ask Amy Anything. So I see some of your questions already coming in on our Facebook page as well as our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. By the time Ask Amy gets here, you better hope that producer Jay's in a better mood or he is going to say screw all of your questions and just ask the ones that he really likes and the ones that he really wants answers to. Maybe if you send him some creative questions, some new questions, he will smile a little more. Or maybe I'm just going to have to find him a donut somewhere.
There's donuts?
There was a donut, actually, but it had some weird faces on it. So I don't know if it would freak you out.
What kind of faces are we talking? Halloween faces? Because the Halloween candy is already out in the stores.
Faces of people. There were donuts that were decorated with people's faces. What's worse, drinking beer through a hot dog straw?
Yes.
Or eating or eating someone's face on a donut?
Definitely the hot dog straw in anything. I can't think of much worse than that.
Wait, so does that mean the next baseball game you go to that you're not going to eat a hot dog?
I won't. I showed my mom that video last night, and she got mad at me. She's like, why did you show me this? I don't want to see this.
Exactly. It's disgusting. I'm glad I'm not the only one who literally felt the queasiness boil up in my stomach. So gross. But it's okay. I recovered in time for Taco Tuesday. Boom! Had some tacos. They were delicious. Do you know what I tried, though? Chipotle taco mix, which was spicy. It had a kick to it. And so my nose was running. Then I put on medium salsa. Oh, my goodness. That was like a double whammy, but it was really delicious.
Sounds good. I never had the Chipotle sauce like that on tacos.
Oh, it's so good.
Like a good play.
I even had leftovers. It's fantastic. I do love cooking extra and having leftovers. We'll take your food questions. Producer Jay loves food questions for Ask Amy. So we'll do that just over 90 minutes from now. We're kind of playing with it, maybe moving it around on our schedule. Maybe dead center of the work week is the right place for Ask Amy. Again, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You hear John Sterling with the highlights for the Yankees in their second consecutive win over the Mets, third win overall. They're now 76-48. And again, have not lost since Aaron Boone went. I'm trying to come up with a good phrase, a good pop culture phrase. Well, I'll come up with one. You just listen to Aaron Boone.
Different guys stepping up, whether it be in the bullpen or the rotation. So we've got some clutch hits and, clutch at bats from guys, that was a really good baseball game out there in a great environment. And, we're able to hang on tonight. A good way to finish, what's been a tough stretch for us to finish off the homestand with three wins against three great opponents and pitchers, a good way to head into the off day. It's been a tough stretch. We're grinding. I think these wins can go a long way and kind of helping you build a little bit of confidence and get that swagger back a little bit, hopefully.
So for Aaron Boone, what really works is when Aaron Judge is not only hitting for power, but hitting for average. He did both. He goes 2-for-4 on Tuesday with another home run, his 48th, as well as a couple RBI. I think the second one was an RBI single, actually. So there were ducks on the pond. I do love to say that about baseball. It's just fun. So he comes through with two runs. And in fact, the only two runs that Taijuan Walker gives up are because of the judge of because of the bat of Aaron Judge. There goes the perfect show or something like that. So Taijuan Walker replaces Jacob DeGrom in this rotation and goes five, allows just four hits and those two runs driven in by Judge.
Covers fastballs all over, up, down. We see that he struggles with the sliders and the changeups, and we were throwing it and we had some success with it, and we thought maybe we can kind of sneak a fastball there, maybe get some weak contact, but he's just a really good fastball hitter.
Swing and strikes, I think that's the most important thing. That's what it really comes down to, trying to get a good pitch, a hit, and take your A swing. Sometimes you won't get that pitch, but you can pass the baton, but just trying to get a good pitch over the plate. Past couple series, we haven't been doing the little things, run the bases right, playing a little small ball, coming up with situational hitting, playing good defense, and I think just the past three games we've really locked in on just the small things in the game that make up the difference.
Frankie Montas finally lowers his ERA from 9 since he joined the Yankees. He goes 5 2/3, allows just a couple runs on 6 hits with 6 strikeouts. And there were some moments there where it looked like the Mets were going to break through. Instead, they draw both these games at Yankee Stadium and now have the day off before they head into a series with the Rockies.
It's been a tough road trip, so we're going to take this experience, all these experiences against these high quality teams. We're going to learn lessons from them, and we're going to apply it on Thursday.
Thursday beginning that series, and we will see Jacob DeGrom on Thursday against the Rockies. So more from Yankees and Mets, as this was definitely a series that a lot of people around the baseball world were paying attention to. Top two teams in their divisions still, but they aren't the only ones who are making headlines on Tuesday night. Pair of pitchers going for wins number 16, both Justin Verlander as well as Tony Gonsolin. Houston Astros, Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, we've got a lot of the same teams that are making waves now as we get toward the end of August. The World Series champions. So a lot of that we'll get to here in this back half hour. But also Kevin Durant, insert obligatory eye roll. And then in addition, what is going on? Why are people taking aim at Patrick Mahomes? Are you not worried about poking the bear? It's like every single person that leaves the Kansas City Chiefs goes to another team and has to point out how his new quarterback is so much better than Mahomes. What is wrong with you people? Are we not seeing the same Patrick Mahomes?
That's dangerous.
There are no other quarterbacks in the NFL that I would take over Patrick Mahomes right now, given youth, given athleticism, given his brain, given his ability to extend plays, his vision, his arm. I don't care what Tyreek Hill says about who's more accurate and who's not. I get that Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP. I get that Tom Brady is brilliant. I understand that Justin Herbert is coming along. Yeah. The total package, when you think about youth, as well as his commitment to team, his ability to adjust on the fly, all of that, I'd still take Patrick Mahomes. And yet, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins.
I really play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Shut up. Oh, sorry. That was rude. Just, no. I mean, are you trying to make the guy mad? As if he needs more motivation. Whatevs. I'm looking forward to a big year from Patrick Mahomes. I'm excited. He's one of the most dynamic athletes in pro sports today. And yet, for whatever reason, he's those who've been departed, maybe they feel scorned by the Kansas City Chiefs. Who knows? All right. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. We know a lot of you found us over the last 24 hours in response to our big milestone question. No home runs from Albert Pujols on Tuesday. It's just a matter of time. 700 in his sights. Marco Belletti is here in our studio. So Marco's wearing a Yankees hat. And I know this is always dangerous because when I ask you about the Yankees, sometimes you get triggered and things happen and like it turns into a big rant. I'm not really looking for a rant, just an opinion.
All right.
Okay.
I'll try.
You don't have to tell me everything that's wrong with the Yankees. It's pretty clear that there are many things wrong with the Yankees. But are you finding it humorous that the fans at Yankee Stadium booed Brian Cashman on Sunday, as well as Hal Steinbrenner and others, but then raucous crowds, like playoff-type crowds Monday and Tuesday, like the whole thing never happened?
No, because I don't think they have anything to do with the other. I think the Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner is the frustration over the inability to go over the top. Yankee fans want Cashman. They understand the moves that he makes. They feel like Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman have refused to go over the top, and they're satisfied with good enough. That's the frustration from the Yankee fan. And I know from other fans, you go, oh, come on. But that's the frustration, because when it's the idea of World Series or bust, when you say, well, we're good enough, that's not good enough. When the crowd, when the actual game is going on, that's a different story. Then it's your team that you're rooting for, as opposed to the management that you feel is not doing everything that they can to try to put the best product on the field.
Do you boo?
No, I personally don't.
That to me is just a waste of breath. I'd rather drink my drink.
Although I'd say this.
But not through a straw with a hot dog.
No. I'd have a better shot of booing management than I would the player. But I wouldn't do it for either one. I don't.
As if it changes anything.
No, and I would say this. It's not like I don't have a problem with it. You go and do it if that's the way. I just don't. That's not how I express it. I do a lot of I'll sit there in frustration or anger, you know, and wind up talking to myself and doing nonsense.
You don't have to do that. You can always talk to me.
The booing, I don't know. It's just not my personality.
All right. You just like to rant.
You'll definitely get me in a rant here and there. Yes. You get my blood boiling, will. You're going to hear me complain for a long, long time.
So Yankees hat to go with a shirt that says the Big Kahuna Burger. Is that a, I can't see if that a particular brand or just a...
Pulp Fiction. Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction?
Oh, you know what? Parts of it. Not all of it. Sorry.
Okay.
This is coming from the same chick who's never seen The Godfather. I know.
Wow.
I did watch Space Jam a couple years ago, though, finally.
I never saw that.
Oh, okay. Well, then I feel like we're even.
That. Okay. No, I have no. I've seriously avoided that. I have no interest in watching that movie. I'm a Knick fan.
It's Michael, really cute.
Yeah. Michael Jordan broke my heart for 20 years. I don't need to watch
best
you.
No. Soundtrack.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Not, no,
good music.
I'm not doing that. No.
Just great hip hop.
This is what you had. The Pulp Fiction. This is kind of like in one of the scenes where they talk about.
Oh, okay.
When he's talking to Brett and whatnot and. Brett's eating hamburgers from the Big Kahuna Burger. So.
Oh, yum. I could house a burger right now.
I've never had a Big Kahuna Burger. I don't know if there is such a thing as a Big Kahuna Burger, but I'll tell you this.
I'll take half a Big Kahuna Burger.
If there is,
half a
I'm
Kahuna
in.
Burger. I know. Seriously, we should do that. Except we never know when you're going to be here. Sometimes you're here. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's a Pete. Sometimes it's another Pete. Sometimes we just don't have an anchor at all.
You say it like it's. I have some control over
this. I just feel like
this.
You should put your foot down.
I'm looking at my key card.
I offered to go
get
to
the
bat
building.
For you.
You let me in the building. I'll work whatever schedule you ask me to work.
I wouldn't put that out there in the universe if I were you.
That's above my
Although,
head.
You're safe because the bosses don't listen to our show. They don't even know there's a show going on at this hour, so you can say whatever you want.
You said that, not me.
It's so true.
The
things we've said about management on this show, and no one, I just am inviting them to listen and know that we're trashing some of the practices, but.
And I'm all for that. You go right ahead. For me personally.
You go right ahead, he says.
I'm on very thin ice in this regard. I'm just going to slide
not.
On through.
You're the.
We're looking to fly under the
I'm
radar.
I'm the problem child here. You are the perfect one. Yeah. Does whatever they ask without fighting back.
Yep.
Oh.
We're
talking about kicking equipment on this show, and you're like, I'll do whatever.
No.
Yes, sir.
No. Hang on. This comes with the idea of me working. If you're going to give me 5 days and I'm going to know what my check is going to look like at the end of 2 weeks, you figure it out. You let me know when I can come to work and I'll come to work. And
really?
I'm cool with that.
Because
cool
I know
that.
You would really like to see a schedule change on Saturdays.
That I know. I'll say it on the air. I want my Saturdays off. That was something that was told to me in the beginning and that hasn't happened yet. I'm assuming that that will happen at some point soon. I take their word for it and I'll enjoy it when that comes to it. Yes. Do I want my Saturdays off? Yeah, I would. That'd be the first Saturdays that I'm not working since I was 16. Yeah, I want my Saturdays off.
It is pretty
off.
Sweet.
I'm not going to deny
Saturday's
that.
The only day of the week that I have off entirely, but it is pretty sweet.
I haven't had weekends off since I was a junior in high school. Yes, I would like to have weekends off.
I can't say that. We still work Sundays around here, but we do love Sundays during NFL season. All right, coming up, a little more on the two pitchers going for 16 wins each. Wowzers. And why did Justin Verlander get pulled with a no-hitter? Oh, it's that question again.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Astros lead 2-0. 0-2 to Urshela. That's a ground ball left side to his left. Bregman, third baseman, has it. Throws on the move in time. And it's a 1-2-3 inning for Justin Verlander. Verlander has faced 16 and has retired 15.
Bregman's 2-for-3. Here's the pitch. And he clubs this one. Left field high. Far and deep. A two-run shot for Alex Bregman, and it's 4-0. Just like that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Plenty of offense to back up Justin Verlander, and he had allowed just a single base runner through 6 innings. He actually had a no-hitter going through 6 innings and 10 strikeouts in those 6. Lowers his ERA to 1.87, but does not finish the game. He does pick up win number 16. So Verlander, at 39 years old, is now 16-3. Unbelievable, likely to be the comeback player of the year. I don't know who else would fit the bill there, but his manager was not about allowing him to go the distance. Instead, Dusty Baker pulled him before it even became a real question.
Had him on a, usually every night, not usually, but every night we have kind of predetermined pitch count depending on the load that a guy has. And, you know, if we're going to 5-6-man rotation or whatever, but tonight his pitch count was 90, and he had 91. You know, we asked him, and, he thought that was enough. And, it's tough to take a guy off the no-hitter, but he'd had to go 130 pitches to get that, you know. So, you got to weigh between, a no-hitter and having him for the rest of the year.
If I feel good, there's no reason why there should be an innings limit. I think that we've done an incredible job of giving me some time here and there. Obviously running a six-man for quite a while.
Verlander went on to say that he would rather go deep in the postseason, but that at 91 pitches, it wasn't going to be one of those nights. It wasn't going to be a magical night where he was going to go 130 pitches. He said maybe 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when I loved throwing that many, but not now and not after Tommy John in my first season back. So he was on board with the Dusty Baker decision, though certainly liked the way that he was throwing the ball against the Twins in those six innings.
Yeah, I thought it was probably some of the best stuff I've had all year. Not too many good swings pretty much the entire night. So that's what you like to see as a pitcher.
He is now 16-3. The Astros have 79 wins. And they did graciously welcome back Carlos Correa, who is a member of the slumping Twins. They've now dropped four games in a row. And so for them to fall further back of the Cleveland Guardians, there's still time, but it's crazy how this AL Central has changed hands multiple times, and it's really not what a lot of people expected or predicted at the beginning of the season or even at the midway point of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we will welcome longtime Yankees insider Sweeney Murdy, who is part of the flagship broadcast on our New York affiliate, WFAN, to talk about not just the Subway Series or the last two games of the Subway Series, but also what's changed for the Yanks and what they still need to try to catch up to the Astros, right? Because the Yankees no longer have the best record in the American League, nor do they have a better record than the New York Mets. So that's top of the hour. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We'll do that at the top of the third hour of the show. Verlander, not the only pitcher who earns win number 16 on this Tuesday night. Kind of great to see Verlander and Tony Gonsolin both showing their best stuff on Tuesday.
The 2-2. There's a fly ball to left center field, and Trace Thompson is on fire. 15 rows back in the left field pavilion, and the Dodgers take a 4-0 lead.
Pitch 77. There's a hot shot to short. Trey Turner picks it up, steps on the bag, throws to first. That is the inning. That was well hit. But Turner perfectly positioned. Two steps to the bag, then fired on to first, and the inning is over.
Charlie Steiner on Dodgers radio, and oh, please let me not forget Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on Astros radio earlier in this segment. So yes, it is more than enough offense always. Not always. The Brewers had the best of the Dodgers going back. Was it Monday night? I think it was Monday night they beat them. So every now and then it's a night when the Dodgers don't come up with enough offense, but they had more than enough to spare on Tuesday. 10 runs on 12 hits. They really rough up Corbin Burnes, who doesn't even last through the fourth inning before giving up 7 earned runs. And so Tony Gonsolin has a ton of support. He ends up going 5 himself, that's it, but allows just a single run on 3 hits, and he is now 16-1. Wow. It does help when you pitch in front of that Dodgers offense or with that Dodgers offense, but still, that's amazing. 16-1. What a breakthrough. What a revelation for
Immaculate.
Him.
Immaculate.
Two guys in the Dodgers lineup end up driving in 4. Freddie Freeman, who's brilliant, and then Trace Thompson, who's the brother of Clay Thompson. And every single time he comes to the plate or does anything worthy of praise, the crowd goes wild there at Dodger Stadium. I hope they know what they're
real
watching.
Classy.
Yeah, I hope they know what they're watching with Tony Gonsolin when he's on the mound.
Tip the cap to the defense, all the position guys. They did a fantastic job top to bottom, defensively and offensively, obviously. Tip the cap to the guys who are doing the positioning stuff. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Let these guys play and track balls and just do their job.
I did not know this until I heard about it on Tuesday night, but he was a former college teammate of the guy who was starting for the Brewers, Corbin Burns. So that's kind of cool when these guys cross paths in the majors.
Felt like a, you know, Friday or Saturday fall game at school, but yeah, it was really cool to go out there and have him toe the mound on the other side of the ball. It's the first time we've thrown against each other in our professional career, so it was pretty cool to do that. Kind of, I was thought about doing something funny, but I decided against it.
Gonsolin and Verlander leading the majors with 16 wins each, though Gonsolin has the edge when it comes to ERA in the National League at 2.10. First time that he and Burns have matched up, despite the fact that they came into the majors about the same time, former St. Mary's College teammates. All right, we'll talk Subway Series with Sweeney Murdy next here after Hours CBS Sports Radio.